Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Take your New Testaments and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. He, Jesus, then began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a pit for the winepress, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants to collect from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. But they seized him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Well, then he sent another servant to them, and they struck this man on the head, treated him shamefully. He sent still another, and that one they killed. He sent many others. Some of them they beat, others they killed. He had one left to send, a son whom he loved. He sent him last of all, saying, "They will respect my son." But the tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? Will he come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others? Haven't you read this scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone or the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Then they looked for a way to arrest him, Jesus, because they knew he had spoken the parable against them. But they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away. So I want to share with you something of an epiphany, a revelation that has occurred to me recently. And you have to understand, I'm not trying to be facetious, okay? Please understand when I share this with you, I'm not trying to be facetious, but I will belabor the issue because I'm trying to make an important point, okay? And so this has been somewhat revelatory for me, and I want to just share this with you. I have discovered this about myself, and maybe you can relate as well. But when I pick up a book, say, about healthy eating, and I actually sit down and I begin to read the book, and they talk about, you know, healthy foods you should eat, and foods that you should avoid, and, you know, different vegetables and fruits, and just healthy eating, I have found that when I am actively engaged in reading such a book, guess what? I begin to start eating healthier, right? It's kind of funny how that works. On the other hand, when I begin to neglect reading things such as how to eat healthy, and I don't pay attention to what I'm eating, and I don't really care, and I'm just not paying attention, what happens is that I begin to eat like I did on the 4th of July, which was probably not the healthiest. And it certainly didn't help that someone brought a soft-serve ice cream machine to our 4th of July barbecue, although I did good. I only had one serving, okay? Now, I loaded that one serving with a ton of M&Ms and peanuts and other stuff that wasn't good, but it was delicious. And again, I'm not trying to be facetious. This is something I've noticed about myself. If I'm actively reading and focused and giving my attention to how to eat healthier, I tend to eat healthier. Same is true if I happen to pick up a book or watch videos about exercising or walking or lifting weights. When I am focused on that, if I'm reading about it, if I'm giving my attention to it, guess what? I tend to be more active. I tend to walk more. I tend to work out. I tend to be more active. But the reverse is also true. I have also discovered this about myself. I find that when I am actively reading God's Word every day, something unique happens. I tend to act more like a Christian. It's funny how that works. But the reverse is also true. If I find some days have gone by, or weeks, or months have gone by that I have not been actively studying God's Word and reading God's Word, I find that my attitude and my behaviors are less than what they ought to be for a professing Christian. So again, I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm just trying to be real with you. That when we are actively engaged in certain things, and we give our attention to certain things, we tend to prioritize those things and make them important in our lives. We have a race to run. And in order to run this race effectively, we have to be focused and we have to pay attention. Jesus was ministering in a time in the first century when the people, in particular the religious people of his day, had lost focus. And they had wandered so far away from what their intended purpose was. And so, what does Jesus do? He tells a story, once upon a time, a parable, to try to hit home just how far they have strayed from God's intended purpose. And when Jesus tells stories like what he does here, we tend to find ourselves in the story. And the story begins by taking us all the way back to the very first story in the Bible in Genesis chapter 1. We get echoes of a garden because in Jesus' story here, a man plants a vineyard. And how does the Bible start? It starts in the Garden of Eden. And so really what Jesus is saying is, I'm going to tell you a story, but this story is actually going to take you all the way back to the Old Testament as well, because I want to give you an overarching overview of the entire story. So a man plants this vineyard. The vineyard, as Jesus told the story, represents God's kingdom, which was entrusted to Israel. The wall, the hedge around, represents the law that was given to Israel to promote justice, but also to keep out evil. But then we come to these servants, three in particular, and then Jesus says many others. And I hope you caught on to how these servants were treated. They were not treated with hospitality. They were not treated with kindness. They certainly weren't treated with love. They were beat up, mistreated, and even killed. The point that Jesus was trying to make here was that the message of these servants was being neglected even to this very day. The servants represent the prophets that had come to lay the foundation for Israel and for the Messiah who was to come. This sermon this morning is going to do one of two things for you. Number one, you're either going to be bored out of your gourd and you're going to leave church saying, today was an absolute dud because the preacher didn't give me five simple steps on how to become happy and prosperous. Okay? Or this sermon will hopefully be used by the Holy Spirit to ignite within you a passion to dive into the story, our Old Testament story, and in particular, the prophets and their message. Why is this so important? This is important because we just celebrated the 4th of July a few days ago. America is a wonderful, beautiful country. But America needs to find its way back to God. America doesn't need more legislation, whether it's another bill, a big, beautiful bill, or a small, ugly bill, it doesn't matter. America doesn't need more revamped policies. America doesn't need more legislation. What America needs is to go back and listen once again to the prophets and their message that we have forsaken. Our church and every church in our country and around the world doesn't need another program to implement. No. Our church and every other church in this country needs to go back and hear the message of the prophets that we have forsook for other messages. You in your own life, you do not need to watch another TikTok video on how to have a better life. No, what you need to do is go back to the prophets and listen again to their message of what God requires of His people. So what I'm going to do this morning is allow us to hopefully hear from the prophets for themselves. And up on the screen, you'll see a list of the four major prophets, and then underneath, the 12 minor prophets. And I've chosen specific passages from each of the prophets for us to hear in their own words, their message for us today. However difficult or however much we don't may not even understand what they're saying, we still need to hear their voice, because they came to us from God as these servants came to the vineyard. And what we have a tendency to do is either mistreat them, neglect them, or kill them off rather than listening to their message for us today. So let's go to Isaiah 31, verses 1 through 7. And I'm going to ask you just to listen to the voice of the prophets this morning who came to us from God, for we need to hear them again in their own words. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. Yet He too is wise and can bring disaster. He does not take back His words. He will rise up against the house of the wicked, against those who help evildoers. But the Egyptians are men and not God. Their horses are flesh, not spirit. When the Lord stretches out His hand, he who helps will stumble. He who is helped will fall. Both will perish together. This is what the Lord says to me, as a lion growls, a great lion over his prey. And though a whole band of shepherds is called together against him, he is not frightened by their shouts or disturbed by their clamor. So the Lord Almighty will come down to do battle on Mount Zion and on its heights, like birds hovering overhead. The Lord Almighty will shield Jerusalem. He will deliver it and deliver it. He will pass over it and will rescue it. Return to him, you who have greatly revolted against, O Israelites. For in that day, every one of you will reject the idols of silver and gold from your sinful hands that you have made. Oh, we need to hear the prophets in their own words, not dismiss them, not beat them up, and not kill them, as our forefathers did. Look at Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 8. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and will bring them back to their pasture where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. So then, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when people will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt, But they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the descendants of Israel up out of the land of the north and out of all the countries where he had banished them, then they will live in their own land. We need to hear again the voice of the prophets in our day. Ezekiel 18, beginning at verse 20. I will read to the end of the chapter. And again, these are the major prophets, and so I'm giving them a little bit more attention and focus. When we get to the minor prophets, we'll hear a word or two. But we need to hear again the voice of the prophets and not dismiss them and not forsake them. Ezekiel 18, beginning at verse 20. The soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against him. But if a wicked man turns away from all the sins he has committed and keeps all my decrees and does what is just and right, he will surely live. He will not die. None of the offenses he has committed will be remembered against him. Because of the righteous things he has done, he will live. Do I take pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Sovereign Lord? Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? But if a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits sin and does the same detestable things the wicked man does, will he live? None of the righteous things he has done will be remembered because of the unfaithfulness he is guilty of. And because of the sins he has committed, he will die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear, O house of Israel, is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust? If a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits sin, he will die for it. Because of the sin he has committed, he will die. But if a wicked man turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he will save his life. Because he considers all the offenses he has committed and turns away from them, he will surely live. He will not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. Are my ways unjust, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are unjust? Therefore, O house of Israel, I will judge you, each one according to his ways, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent! Turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent and live. We need to hear the words of the prophets and not dismiss them as our forefathers did. Daniel chapter 9, beginning at verse 4. This is the prayer, the great prayer of Daniel. O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous. But this day we are covered with shame, the men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, and all Israel, both near and far, and all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings and princes and fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophet. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the word spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant for your sake, O Lord. Look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen, O Lord. Forgive, O Lord. Hear and act for your sake, O my God. Do not delay because your city and your people bear your name. Oh, we need to hear the message of the prophets today. I want to quickly go through the minor prophets. Hosea 14, 1 through 3. Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never say again our gods to what our own hands have made. For in you the fatherless find compassion. Joel 2, verses 12 and 13. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Amos 5, 14 and 15. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good. Maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. Obadiah chapter 1, verses 3 and 15. The pride of your heart has deceived you. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head. Jonah chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. But let the people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they had done and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Nahum 1:3, the Lord is slow to anger, but great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. His way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Habakkuk 2:4, see, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by faithfulness. This is Zephaniah 2:3. Seek the Lord, all you humble in the land, you who do what he commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Zechariah chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Do not be like your ancestors to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Turn from your evil ways and your evil practices, but they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 7. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from your decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how do we return? You can see why they didn't treat the servants very kindly. But we still need to hear the words of the prophets, even today. And then the Son comes. The Son, of course, being Jesus of Nazareth. And what was his message that got him killed? Well, Mark chapter 1 tells us, verse 15, the very first recorded words of the Son in this gospel. Jesus says, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. But they didn't like that message. And so what did they do to the Son? Mark 12, 8 tells us very clearly what we did to the Son. They took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. And that's the end of the story, right? No. Of course not. Jesus was killed, but God redeems everything. And what happened is that the stone the builders rejected became the cornerstone.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.